Okay, Bible study. All right. Sometimes it is hard to cut off from life and go right on into the Lord stuff. That's just the way humans are. So what is Paul talking about today, Shelley? The purpose of the law. This is going to be a good one because most of us don't understand what is the law for. Why did God give it? And what was it used for nearly 1,500 years? That's a long time. And then why is, in one respect, one country is still somewhat following the law, and then a lot of countries are using remnants from the law. We're going to look at that today. But what is its purpose? Anyway, pick one person to pray for, and you pray in silence, and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus, and the forgiveness of sin. Lord, had not been for your death on the cross you shed in your blood, there would be no forgiveness of sin, Lord Jesus. Father God, we're so thankful that you sent him here to the world. And Lord, as you were showing me this morning the importance of Jesus coming, there was no other way in which mankind could have been saved. Lord Jesus, you in your own righteousness had to come because you love us. We don't understand that. And then you just didn't leave us as a saved people, but you left us as a saved people with your commands to obey and to follow. As we love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and with all our strength, loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, those commandments you have not changed. In fact, you said a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another with the love in which I have loved you with. Lord Jesus, that's hard to do when you got people fighting against you. And we've seen that today in the ministry. But that's only because that person is very elementary in that person's walk with you. And so, Lord, we're asking that by your Spirit that you would grow her, you would grow all of us, cleanse us from our sins, and renew our spirit within us. And Lord, for the young lady that surrendered her life to you, her name is Christine, we're asking people from around the world to pray for her. She's brand new birth into the kingdom of our God. And she's our sister in Christ. And she has two children, a single parent. And you pray God's favor upon his, on her life. And Lord, for this building, we need money to fund this building. We open the windows of heaven and bless men's heart and move their heart to give. And then, Lord, will you continue to use us to bring forth your glory here in Hot Springs and wherever else you send us. Have your way now as we look very closely at your word. Will you watch over Israel? And will you give us wisdom and guidance from Holy Spirit and help us to get ourselves and look solely upon you. Father, bring healing to Mr. David. His body is hurting him. Father, Clinton is tired. Will you strengthen him? And Lord, if Zora is weary, will you strengthen her also? And keep Marquise focused. Lord, will you open the door for Carlton to go into the military or get a job or enter into college? The young man needs some divine guidance right now. And Vernon as well. Father, will you be with Matthew and ease this troubled mind? He's only but 12 years old. In a few weeks, he'll be a teenager. And we're asking you, dear Lord, to move according to your Spirit upon him and upon all of our children, oh God. Stabilize Brennan's mind and body, Father, so he can focus. Be with us now, Lord, as we journey into your word, your living word, as we see it come alive before us by the Holy Spirit, and help us to apply it to our hearts because we love you. And share it with others. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okie dokie. I don't want to hold this thing in my hand like this, but Anyway, I think my little 9-month-old granddaughter, is looking at me, so. And, all right. So, Paul is saying, what am I saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Have you ever seen or thought about during slavery, the master's little kids and the slave kids playing together at a very young age? And did you know that that master's child didn't look at that slave child as any different than himself? Because he didn't know any difference until someone did what with him?
Showed him.
Showed him, taught him, directed him that he was better than the slave and that the slave was to serve him. And then once they enforced that in him, then he started treating that slave, for the most part, according to the way he had been taught. But has a slave changed? No. The slave is still a slave. And the master's son is still now master. Right?
Yep.
So one changed and the other one didn't. For the most part. Now, what is Paul is getting at then? Why do you use such a horrific analogy? A master's child and a slave child. Because he wants you to see something here. Look at it. Although he owned the whole estate, that means the young one, let's just say they're 10 years old. One 10-year-old owns everything. The other 10-year-old owns what? Nothing.
Not even a dirt on their sheet.
Not even the clothes on their backs. Right?
And probably at 10 years old, they start to break away from each other and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because the 10-year-olds start to begin to understand differences, right?
I want
to
be a boss.
Uh-huh. All right. Verse 2. But, not talking about the master's child, is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. So, the little boy is under what? Teachers. And those who take care of him and instruct him and guide him and train him in the things of what it's like to be a master. Okay?
Which might even be the slaves.
And so, yeah, you know, it's really strange. The slave boy father could be the one training the master's son. He's going to use, he's using this as a analogy to teach you about what God did with the law. Here's what's happening. Pretty clever writing. So that the master's son is under guardians and stewards, right? NIV says, subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father appointed. Yeah, that's right. They say, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world.
Slavery?
Slavery to what? One word. S-I-N. The elements of the world causes S-I-N, sin, okay? It's like, I want to see how long this 12-year-old boy is going to rebel and not open his Bible and look and keeping his head down at Bible study, but it wants something from us afterwards. Even a 12-year-old boy continue to have to be taught the ways of God. Even a 56-year-old man continue to have to be taught by God. So, verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son. What does that mean, Shelley? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son.
The time was perfect.
The time was perfect. What was that perfect timing for? Are you talking about the timing from the moment that Adam and Eve had sinned against God and fallen in the garden, all the way to the time in which God decided to interdict his son Jesus, to place him in human history? Probably several thousand human years had gone by since the fall of man. Okay? So after several thousand years of humans falling on their face by sin and against God, God had already predetermined when he was going to dispatch his son and put him down here as one of us. Once again, pretty clever by God, pretty wise. He knew the exact moment in human history. Notice, Miss Marie, God didn't bring Jesus in the 21st century, our time. Notice he didn't bring him 1,000 years ago. Notice he didn't bring him 1,500 years ago. Or he didn't bring him 3,000 years ago during King David's time. Nor did he bring him during the time of Moses. Or, better yet, why not bring him right
now,
during the time in which Adam and Eve had sinned? We would have thought, oh, God, that would have been a perfect time right there. We'll cut this mess off before it even spread it into the human race, and the Father. Mm-hmm. We don't get to decide the rules, do we?
I think we need him, too.
Oh, yeah, we bet you we need him. But yes, ma'am, we absolutely do. But God is not going to crucify him again. So the timing by God was perfect. And sometimes we like to think, well, the Romans had Israel under oppression, and to crucify someone openly didn't get a world outcry like, you know, we have social media today that puts everything out there, right? So there would be a world outcry. So why are you nailing that man to the tree? You know, none of that. Even if it would have, even if God would have sent Jesus today, and that was Facebook like it is, and Twitter, and Snapchat, and media, the news, all that stuff, it still would have been the perfect timing by God, because everything God does is, what, Shelley? Perfect. So, but that was a reason, though, why he put Jesus there at that time, though. Let's take a look further. So, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, but under the law. A couple of things that we need to look at. Do you all realize something that happened in the garden? When God was talking to the serpent, this is after Adam and Eve, right after they had bitten the fruit and everything changed. And they were naked and they realized they would hid themselves behind bushes. And when God came, that's when they really hid. And they said, we heard you coming and we hid ourselves because we were naked. And they said, who told you that you were naked?
Yeah.
And then they go, have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to? Well, you already knew that.
Yeah.
And then the man said, the woman that you gave me, she gave it to me.
Oh, yeah. Blame the woman.
Blame the woman. And then the woman said, the serpent beguiled me.
That was.
Okay. So everybody's pointing fingers, right? But notice who didn't point a finger. When God got to the serpent didn't point a finger. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
However, it was to the serpent that God was talking when God said, the seed of the woman. What did he mean by seed of the woman? What's another way to say that?
Children.
Children. But seed is in the singular, not plural. So what's another way to say it?
Child.
A child. Of the woman. That means somewhere down the line, a child is going to crush Satan's head. That means there's only one picked out for that job.
Jesus.
Yes. And you will bruise his heel, okay? Meaning that you will strike him, but not going to kill him. But why did not God say this to Eve, or in particular to Adam? Why didn't God say, your seed will crush his head?
Because it wasn't his.
That's because you know the rest of this story ahead of time, because we got one thing in our favor. We have the book that told us the story. Had you not had the book and had those events not already taken place, you wouldn't have known that answer.
Right.
So the question still remains then, why did God say to the serpent that a child of the woman, not the child of the man, will crush your head?
Because it was Mary and God's.
You got to look deeper than this.
I don't know.
You have got to look deeper than what you're looking at this thing.
Okay, but you're saying it.
How is blood transferred to a baby? Is it transferred from the mother, or is it transferred from the father?
The mother. It takes two people for the DNA to make a baby.
Well, it's from the mother.
In this case, it was God who put himself into Eve.
The bloodline is typically named after the father rather than the...
The mom, but...
The mom.
But it wasn't just...
We were thinking DNA.
So... Yeah. Now, but you have to, but this time it's spiritual DNA.
Okay.
Now, what happened with Adam's DNA, his spiritual DNA, when he bit the fruit?
It got corrupted.
Uh-oh. Somebody on it. It got what?
Corrupted.
It got corrupted. Honey, what you were going to say? It got corrupted. See, y'all didn't think y'all could have a good Bible study with just a handful of us here. It seemed pretty interesting to me.
It wasn't the same.
It wasn't the same. It changed. Because how would Eve couldn't have had children by herself? So when Adam and Eve came together, the seed line was corrupted. That's why the child could not have been Adam's. The child had to be God. The child had to come perfect without a sin nature. The sin nature was passed from Adam into Eve when she birthed on into the children.
Right.
Which makes Jesus
forever.
The most perfect.
So it had to be a perfect.
Yes, that's why God chose a virgin and put his seed by the Holy Ghost in her. The seed was untainted, uncorrupted, holy, and without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. Just like the lambs had to be without spot and without blemish, remember? If a lamb had a birth defect, they couldn't use it as a sacrifice. So God's sacrifice for him had to be even more perfect than the lamb. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 10, Jesus is talking, and you can see the recording of Jesus there by the writer. It said, a body you have prepared for me. He said, burnt offerings and sin offerings, he said, you did not require, but a body you have prepared for me. In other words, God prepared Jesus' bodies for the sacrifice. He couldn't use a human. Human bodies were corrupted.
Imperfect.
No. You got to go beyond that, because imperfect can be, you can still be without sin and be imperfect. Okay?
But he was born perfect. Without
sin, yes. So, think about that, Miss Shelley.
Yeah.
And you know, it's unbelievable how the Spirit talked to me about this morning, even before we even had this conversation here. He showed me, the Holy Ghost showed me in the Spirit about this morning.
That's deep.
It is deep. Now get back to your job. Are y'all getting this? Is it making sense to you that what happened there, what he's talking about, but in the when the time had fully come, or when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Not Adam sent forth his son, because Adam's son, Seth, was still subject to sin nature. Mm-hmm. We seen that in Cain, did we not?
Yep.
And then did we not see the righteous seed line? Even though the woman would come from that righteous seed line of Seth, they still produce people along that particular descendant, that family tree, that was still had problems. One of them, let me give you a classic example of two of them. Are you ready? Matter of fact, we're just talking about, yeah, let's do two of them. Which one of them got drunk and his son
Moses
walked in and saw him naked, and the other sons had to take a sheet, throw it over them backwards and walk in backwards and drop the cover over their father so they wouldn't look at their father's nakedness?
Moses.
Say it again, little one.
Noah.
It was Noah. Noah came from the righteous seed line of Seth.
I admit that.
But look at his behavior. And even look at his son's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Is this making any sense to y'all now? And let's go just a little bit farther. One of them was a liar. And they said, oh, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Abraham. But yet the Bible says he was a friend of God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness because he believed God. And yet he had deep thought. Yeah. And he even worshiped idol before God called them out. Making sense to y'all now?
Mm-hmm.
So when God came on the scene with his son, by the Holy Ghost, when he called out, God preserved Mary. God put that young lady there in Nazareth. And Mary really wasn't from Nazareth. She was from a town called Sepphoris. Sepphoris was like 5 miles north of Nazareth, and it was a metropolis, had over 1 million people. And that was where King Herod had his first capital at before they built Tiberias on the coast, west coast of the Sea of Galilee, which was named also the Sea of Tiberias. How did I get all that stuff up there? God put it up there. A lot of study.
Yeah.
Anyway, look at this. So the timing was right, Paul said. He was born under the law. What does that mean, Shelley? He was not born a Gentile. Under the law meant he was born a Jew. Yeah, you're right. He was born a Jew. Subject to the what called the laws of Moses. Mm-hmm. The same laws in which the Israelites had problems obeying. Okay? Now, to redeem those under the law. What do you mean by that? To redeem those under the law. What did you mean by that? Okay, she's jumping on me. She's doing good. I can, oh, girl, look at her. She done learned a little fancy self.
Because the people thought the law was enough to just follow it and not really believe in it?
Nope. You're close. Just the opposite. Turn all that you said around. Put it in the opposite direction. What's the opposite direction of following the law?
Not
disobeying. Yes, that's it. Okay? So to redeem those who are under the law that we might receive the adoptions as sons. So God came, sent Jesus in the fullness of time to buy Israel back. Because the law pointed to Israel that they was in bondage to one thing, S-I-N, sin. They were slaves to sin. And so Jesus, with his own body, paid the ransom money, because redeem means that you got to pay a ransom. It's like going, and any black people that studied, or white people that studied slavery, Melissa, Belinda, y'all got a chance to see the old slave market in Charleston. What they used to do, although they said they really didn't exchange slaves there, but they did, they're lying. They would put that slave up on a stump, some kind of pedestal, and they would show him off. And the finest looking slave always brought the most what?
Money.
And so when the master would give money for that slave, it was called he redeemed that slave. Sometimes runaway slaves would be caught and put on the slave market, and if their new their previous owner would find out about it and he couldn't prove that was a slave, he still had to pay the money or the ransom to do what with a slave? To redeem his slave back.
Sometimes freemen would be caught.
That's right. That's right. The people didn't care. They would take their papers and burn them, mm-hmm. and put them right back into slavery. When your mom, Melissa, and I were kids, there was a famous thing down here called S&M green stamps. And if you go to the store, depending on how much money you will get, that cash register would spit out those stamps.
The green stamps.
And they had these little booklets that they would put these stamps in. And once those books get full, they could go and trade them. X number of books for a certain item. So I remember that, and they was around for years. Years and years and years. Some old people still may have some tucked away somewhere. S&M green stamp. Oh, you got some of them?
I've got a book.
Oh, you got a book of them? Well, did you know each time you exchange those stamps for goods, that was called redeeming? You redeemed an item with those stamps.
I don't know. I have to find
okay. Is this making any sense to you? You're going to see now in Galatians a lot of Old Testament imagery. So you're going to have to listen very carefully to have this stuff unpacked for you. All right? So, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the fullness or the full rights of sons. What kind of sons? What kind of sons? Because, listen, when you was a slave, did you have the same rights as a son?
No.
Oh, he's pointing to something here then. Because you remember the analogy he gave first about the master's son and the slave son? You know, when they're little, they're both the same. They didn't even know that they were different until the master's son was instructed. Right? So in a sense, he's saying the law is an instructor. The law is an instructor to train Israel that they needed a savior. Because the rest of the world wasn't under this bondage of the law. Or shall I say sin. But they weren't under the yoke of the law. Because the rest of the world didn't receive it. They weren't at Mount Sinai when God gave it. And Moses handed down those tablets. We're not. So, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls our Abba, Father. Where is that written at? Abba, Father. Where else is that written?
Revelation. Where was it written?
Romans chapter 8. They say, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He said, those who have the Spirit of Christ in them, he said, whereby, because the Spirit of Christ lives in us, we can cry out to God, Abba, Father. And remember, Abba is the Aramaic way of saying, a Hebrew way of saying, Father. And it's kind of like a double wording here, Father, Father. Okay? Now, interesting point. Why did he call you sons here again? Or you can plug in daughters, because it's just in those days, they weren't excluding women. It was just a masculine language. Okay? So why did he call you all sons, us sons, Shelly? It's your day to be picked on because you're wearing pink. Why? Why did he call them sons? And why did he use the word redeem?
Well, he called them sons because after they were redeemed, they became heirs because Holy Spirit's in them too. Their sins can be forgiven.
Okay.
And it makes them his son.
But did you know that before God did this, he had called Israel his son? He said, you are my son. Yeah. He said, you are my sons. But they were still under bondage. And they had to be delivered. Do you know, unlike all the other nations of the world, God handpicked and hand grew this nation. He grew them from nothing. Because remember, Abraham and Sarah was what? Old. That's right. Thus began, Isaac was the first birth of the nation of Israel. The first one. Not yet called Israel, because his son Israel was still in his loins. In other words, in his DNA, as you like to say. But when he and his wife Rachel came together and she got pregnant with twins, and their names were Esau and Jacob. Which one of them had the name Shane?
Esau.
Jacob. What was his name changed to?
Israel.
Who changed his name?
God.
God did. Why?
Because he was chosen.
Why? What does the name Israel mean? Outside a place called Bethel, Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long. And he told the angel, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. So the angel hit this part of his hip, knocked it out of joint. And that's why this part of the animal, the Israelite won't eat, because for the rest of Jacob's life, he hopped on that one leg because the angel knocked it out of joint. And so the angel said to him, he says, thus henceforth, you shall not no longer be called Jacob, but you shall be called Israel.
Blessed?
No, because you wrestled with God.
Oh, he's wrestling with God.
Yes. And I never really caught the connection until now. The entire nation of Israel has been wrestling with God.
Forever.
Have they not? I mean, they've been going back and forth with him. And like a loving father, he still loves them. He disciplined them, then he brings them back. They mess up, he disciplined them. And then they do what? Bring them back. Are they still wrestling with him? Yeah. However, not all of them. Some of them have surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, this is really huge, isn't it? It's making a whole lot of sense. That this nation was put here for one purpose, to be God's witness to the rest of the nations on earth. And he wanted to show the rest of the nation on earth that they were going to be his children too. And so Israel were called God's children. That's why they're called the children of God. And if you're God's children, you cry what it says up there, Abba, Father. Is it making any sense now? Are the pieces coming together now? I mean, we look at this stuff from of old and go, whoa, this is some complicated stuff. But it's not really when the Spirit just breaks all the elements down for you, I mean, and we see it. Okay? And it goes to show you to what extent that God would go to save his children. And boy, she's cranked up, isn't she? It's okay. She's 9 months old. She can do whatever she wants. So you think about this part. Let's move on. I don't know the time, but we'll move on. Shelly, it's you that got to be picked on continually. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. Jesus said to his disciples shortly before he was crucified, he said to them, in wrong hand, he said, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. And we see that. We know that not too distant ago in our own country, very few slave masters confided in them. Right? But a friend, a master will confide in his friends. Am I correct? He'll tell his friends things he won't tell his slaves. And so here, Paul is saying that because of what Jesus did, the Israelite, as well as the Gentiles, no longer were slaves. Because all the time, can you imagine what was the purpose of the law? What did the Israelite had to constantly do under the law? Not only did they have to keep the law, obey the law, but they had to always offer what for their sins? What did they have to offer all the time? Yes, they had to always offer. So they always had to work to try and prove their worthiness to God. To prove that they were worthy enough to be saved by him. When in fact, when Jesus came in the fullness of time, God said, you're not going to have to work anymore. Because we always slip up and fall. And this thing called grace is so powerful from God that Jesus Christ, John wrote in John chapter 1, that Jesus said, Moses came with the law. And Paul said, when the law came, he died. That's in Romans chapter 7. He said, I didn't know sin until the law said, thou shalt not covet. He said, because of the law, I now had knowledge of God's command, what God expected. And when I violated those, I sinned, and because I sinned, I died. Okay, died how? Spiritually. That means separated from God. However, but when Jesus came, he took them from under the curse of the law. Jesus released that. So if the law brought death, then Jesus brought life. Romans chapter 8, very, very first part of it is very, very powerful in that, explaining that. This letter to the Galatians, boy. And I think here, based upon this chapter here, he's really appealing to his Jewish audience here, isn't he? Because they had some problem with believing that they can be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ only. They still believed that they had to be circumcised and they had to keep the law and they can only eat a certain diet. And Paul said, no. Even though we keep those things, you still need to know that those things don't save you. You were saved by the blood of Jesus, Son of God. Am I putting y'all to sleep now? Because y'all not talking. Y'all not asking questions. Okay, I'm just lecturing now. All right. Then he goes on, Shelley, in verse 8. Well, let's finish our 7. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Do you remember what David wrote 1,000 years before the Christ child came? He said something so unique in Psalms 2 about the Christ, because he actually says Christ in it. He actually says Messiah in that Psalms.
1,000 years before.
Yeah, before Jesus came. That's when David lived, around 1,000 years before Lord Jesus came. Shelley, is it possible that you know how, using the right column, to bring up Psalms, take it to the top, going up to the top, use your arrow, go to the top, slow, silly, down, 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 whoop, one more, and Psalms 2, next one over. Okay, let's see here what God says here in verse 7. I will declare the decree. In other words, God said, I'm getting ready to give a command. Right? The Lord has said to me. Who's talking now? What do you see here? Do you see two different languages? One person. Did you see there's a capital M on me? So who's doing the talking now? The Lord, in other words, Yahweh has said to me. Who's talking now? That's Jesus talking. David has seen this in the spirit. Jesus is talking about his father to David. Look at this. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. In other words, Jesus is telling David in the spirit that God has said this about him. Today, son, I have begotten you. What does that mean? Does that mean Jesus was just created by God? No, that means Jesus had just become a human. Because a spirit, he has always been and always will be. So David is seeing this. Can you imagine being given access to the most sensitive, highly classified information in the universe? That's what God just showed David. God opened up his top secrets and shared it with David. Isn't this something?
That is.
And not only that, watch this now, Shelley. Watch this now. Ask of me. Now the Father is talking. You see this? Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. And the ends of the earth for your possession. The Father just said to the Son, ask me, and I will give all the nations on earth to you as your inheritance. You get to own them all, son. You are the heir of all the nations. And then the ends of the earth as your possession. You are Lord of all the earth. Now, I recall in a previous talk with you all, the Holy Ghost showing that Adam and Eve had possession of all the earth. And now, who owns all the possessions of the end of the earth? Now who own all the nations in the earth.
Jesus.
God, remember when Satan told Jesus when he took him up on a high mountain and he said, bow to me and worship me? God, remember, what did he show him, Aiden? What did Satan show Lord Jesus? Huh? Yeah, he had showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all of these are mine, and I will give them to you if you bow down and worship me, because they have been given to me. And Jesus said, you are to worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. Okay? Now, is it making sense to y'all about this air thing? Mm-hmm. He was already the rightful heir. And that's why Paul uses a language called joint heirs with Christ.
Because I haven't even messed it up.
No, they hugely messed it up.
Yeah, they did.
And, but God does something here. He's going to give us the same French benefits that his son has. He gets to share those with us. And that's something. And what are one of the French benefits of being God's son?
Not burning.
I like that. I kind of suspected you were going to say eternal life. But, okay. Eternal life with the Father. All right. That is the biggest. Yeah. It is the biggest French benefit, right? Of being an heir of. Because Christ is eternal. He's the eternal Son of God. And therefore, we get to share in that inheritance as being also God's eternal sons and daughters. That's a blessing. Woo, boy, I'm telling you, that's something to gloat in. Now, I'm waking up now. I was so sleepy. Oh, my Lord. This is so good. This is good. I'm telling you. It really is. So verse 8, Shelly, can you put 8 to the top? So then if you, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. Who did the Israelites serve? Oh, well now, in that present tense, yes. They were serving, they was under the Romans' occupation. Okay, Israel was considered, as y'all heard this, a vassal state, V-A-S-A-L. Vassal means to do what? Means made to pay tribute or taxes to another state. Yeah, well, I mean, yes, of course it was Caesar. But even the Gentiles, they were still, their nations were also vassal under Rome. But the biggest vassal that we was under was what? S-I-N. Yes. And so either way it goes, whether we was on a physical occupation, such as they were during this day on the Roman occupation, we were certainly by spirituality on the sin's occupation. Sin rule, okay? Sins were master. Making sense to you? I like using that term. Does it make sense to you? Is it making sense to you? Because right, Bible study is no good if you're not understanding this. Verse 9, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and, what did he say, Shelley? Weak and what? Miserable principles in the NIV side. King James says beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage. Do you want to be slaves again to sin? Mm-mm. Here he's saying, do you want to be slaves again to the law? Because in Christ Jesus, you got freedom. You don't have to run to the temple every time you sin and offer some turtle doves or a goat or a sheep without blemish or a bull and ask the high priest to offer these for you or give some grain for a wave offering, for a peace offering. You don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. All you got to do is fall on your knees, and you really don't have to do that, but from your heart, confess your sin. What did John say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we got to do is come and confess them to God. And so, wake that boy up. He's 12 years old, ought to be able to stay awake in Bible study. Shut up. Now, but from time to time, we do have to go back, don't we? Whether it's because of a filthy mouth, or filthy eyes, or doing something you're not supposed to be doing with our hand and our feet, whatever the case may be, at times we do have to go to Christ and say, Lord, I messed up. In verse 10, we'll close on this one because I need to leave some daylight. You observe days and months and seasons and years. What does that mean, Shelly? You observe days, months. So you're observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you.
You okay. Just keep doing the same thing.
Lord. Yeah.
How long time goes by?
And people can be obedient in observing special holidays. Why can't they be obedient in observing God, keeping trust in Lord Jesus Christ by faith? And it's pretty sad because this letter here, when it said, I'm afraid I wasted my efforts. What's another way to say I wasted my efforts on you? Yeah, I wasted my time with you. And that's pretty sad, isn't it?
Yep.
Because the man is just, what's another way to look at this? The man just said, well, I should just let you die and go to what?
Hell.
Yeah, because it doesn't appear that all the work that I did with you is paying off. Sometimes parents feel that way about their children. And not necessarily want them to go to hell, but sometimes we say, but why did I waste my time with you on this? Sometimes wives say that to their husband, isn't that right, Miss Belinda? Well, do it yourself. Right? That's a pretty sad statement.
It is.
Why? I feel I wasted my time with you. All right, we'll close out there, like I said. But we'll pick up the Lord's willing next week in the middle of this. But boy, did y'all get some Old Testament teachings today, didn't you?
Yeah.
But it'll come pretty easy if you read the Old Testament. Because the same thing is there. Just arranged differently. Okay? Any questions? Scholar, pray for us so we can go home. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to wait on the kids. Belinda and Shelly got a mission.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us all up this morning. Thank you for working out everything today. I pray for everybody. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 And I'm talking this, and actually, forgive me, because we always want people to know that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we want them to be saved. And to God be the glory. Jesus is the only way in which men could be saved. Trust Him with your life. Amen.